Musings, a DC Comics podcast. As always, I'm your host, Adam, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Jordan. Jordan, how's it going?
I'm doing fantastic today, Adam. I'm still coming off the high of all this SDCC stuff that we're going to be talking about today. I'm actually, in some ways, I'm getting three DC movies this week, actually, which I'm really excited about because, first of all, I'm going to see Batman 89 tonight for the first time ever in theaters.
Oh, well, welcome to the club, finally.
What right?
Let's see, 89, 99, only. So that's almost 30 years late, but better late than ever.
Yeah, 30 years late to the party, yeah. But it's very exciting to get. I'm very excited to have that experience, you know, to be able to see that movie in theaters tonight. And then the Death of Superman comes out on Tuesday as of us recording this. And then Teen Titans Go to the Movies comes out on Thursday. So essentially, I'll be getting three DC movies in 1 week, which is really, really exciting. But yeah, I'm doing Bat-tastic. I'm really excited to break down all this news and trailers from SDCC. So yeah, man, how are you?
I'm good. It's a good. It's been a good week to be a DC fan. At least on my end, you know. I know some people are upset about some things, but that's not my concern because I'm happy about them. So yeah, I'm in good spirits in terms of all this, and excited to talk about it.
That's good. Yeah. Me too. Before we get into the SDCC stuff and our comic recommendations, which we'll talk about in a minute, also before we get into that stuff. And we've actually got some it's not going to be all the SDCC stuff because we've got some stuff, actually a lot of stuff broke before SDCC. Jesus, SDCC. that's a little bit of a tongue twister.
It is.
But last weekend I was at Atlanta Comic Con, which, let's be honest, is not as big as SDCC, but yeah. It was still awesome. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that experience.
Cool.
Yeah, so that was last weekend, and it was a ton of fun. It was the first one they've ever done. So, like, in Atlanta, the big convention in Atlanta is Dragon Con.
Right.
But this is the first year they've done Atlanta Comic Con, which I sort of felt like, because Dragon Con's only a month and a half away, so this was sort of like an appetizer Dragon Con, essentially, which is pretty cool. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was still fairly big, actually. I'll say the first thing I did when I got there, other than take some pictures with some awesome cosplayers, was I went and got my issue of Batman number 50 signed by Ty Templeton. I got his page signed anyway.
Oh, okay, I got it.
Yeah, and he and I talked about Batman for about 2 hours.
Oh, cool.
I was at his booth talking about Batman with him for 2 hours. Just an incredible experience, because obviously this is a guy who's written and drawn Batman for like 30 years now. And so, like, just to stand there and talk with him for like 2 hours was just an incredible experience, you know.
That's awesome.
Yes, it was really cool. And actually, I have some confirmation on something we were speculating about back on our Batman number 50 review.
Oh, cool.
So that page he did, the one of Catwoman in almost her new Batman Adventures costume, but not quite.
Right.
I asked him, because I remember I was speculating on that episode. I was like, so I wonder if the reason that their costume is slightly different, where her eyes are open but her mouth is covered, which is unlike her costume in the show. I asked him, I was like, was I right about my speculation about that? I was like, so is that because the whole issue is about how all of her costumes, you can see her eyes? And I asked him, I was like, so is the reason that you changed it, because technically that's only true when you talk about her canonical costumes and it doesn't count for like her animated costumes? And he's like, that's exactly it. When I sent it in the first time, I had it with the way her costume is supposed to look in the new Batman Adventures, and they said, oh, you can't do that because well, because it goes against Bruce's love letter in the issue. And so I was like, oh my goodness, I was right about that. So anyway, cool. That was really cool.
take you being right whenever you can. It's always a good.
Oh my goodness.
No, I'm just saying in general. Whenever you, I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying whenever you get a chance to, get a win, take it.
Okay. I will take that win. Yes. Yeah. And then that night after that, I went to go see a Black Lightning fan film. It was called Black Lightning Tobias's Revenge, and it was really cool. If you wanted to see Static in live action, if you've been waiting a long time to see this, I would say check out this fan film, because I mean, I know it's not official, but like, you get to see Static in live action, and it's really cool. You get to see him teaming up with Black Lightning. So yeah, that was a really cool fan film, and there's some awesome cameos and DC Easter eggs in it. So highly recommend that fan film.
Is that on YouTube or whatever?
I believe it is. I guess maybe I should have confirmed that. But anyway, so I went to go see that, and I went to this. I think this was that night. You know, when you're at conventions, the nights sort of run together. But
yeah.
Then I went to this Batman panel about the psychology of Batman's villains, and they had a psychologist there who talked about like the psychological disorders that she would diagnose all of Batman's villains with, which was really cool. Then the next day, I went to a fan film block where they showed a lot of fan films. Okay, so there was this one called Batman Patient Zero, okay? And essentially, and this is something I've heard as a fan theory about Batman for a long time, which is that he's basically the theory that, I mean, obviously it's not true, but like this really fascinating theory that like maybe he's the crazy one and he's actually locked up in Arkham Asylum and he's designed, after his parents' murder, he went crazy and he made this Batman persona in his head, and he's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like the small episode where Clark, and it's always so fascinating when this, just from a psychological perspective, because the scariest part is how plausible it is. Like when Clark's in that asylum in that small episode, and he's like, everybody, Milton Fine is like one of the doctors there, is like the name of a doctor there or whatever. And all this stuff and Krypton, it's not real. It's just a story he made up or whatever in his head. So anyway, all of that was basically Batman Patient Zero. It's basically an exploration of the same thing with Batman, which is really interesting to me. But the highlight of the fan film festival for me was this fan film called Injustice for All. And this one, I'm almost positive, is available online. Have you ever seen this fan film, Adam?
No, I saw that you posted about it, but I haven't seen the film itself.
Okay. Adam, as soon as we're done recording, check this out. Okay. My goodness, I was blown away. It is one of the most horrifying depictions of the Joker and Harley I have ever seen. Basically, it acts as sort of like a alternate universe prequel to basically the events of Injustice.
Okay.
And it is, I mean, you see Joker do some stuff in here that I'm not sure I've ever seen him do anything this horrendous. It is terrifying. And they give him this new backstory. They give him a definitive backstory in this that I just found brilliant. And the acting is top notch. The production value is top notch. Like, it looks almost like I could believe it was a TV budget that you're seeing this on. Like, okay. It's that good production value. And like, it's like half an hour, I think. And it is just, it is horrifying.
Awesome. That sounds awesome. Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely gonna check that out for sure.
Yeah, definitely check that out. And then the final day of Comic Con, I went to Rebecca Johnson, who's been on this show before.
Yeah.
I went to her panel that she did with Michael Bailey from Superman Homepage, and they did a panel talking about Krypton and Supergirl, and sort of discussing the similarities and differences with how they portray Kryptonian culture, which was very interesting. And they did a great panel there. So. That was really fun.
Awesome. Sounds good. Sounds like a fun time.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It was indeed. It was indeed. And the vendor floor, I also picked up some cool merchandise. I picked up this Bat-Cat Gotham magnet. With Bruce and Selina on it, and it's got the line, "Have you ever kissed a girl?" from season one of Gotham.
I saw that you posted that. Yeah.
Oh, you saw it. Cool. Yeah, so I got that, which was pretty cool. So yeah, a lot of awesome stuff there.
You know, I gotta admit, I got excited there when you said you went to see a psychiatrist, but I got the total wrong idea.
I was not one of the Gotham villains that she
diagnosed. Listen, if you could get her on this show, that'd be great. Do you know what her name was? I'm gonna look her up and try and get her.
I can't remember what her name was. I could find it very easily, actually.
You know what's funny too? A lot of people on Twitter, which you are still locked out of.
But I'm almost back, I think. Twitter, I finally got some confirmation. Twitter finally said that they finally confirmed that yes, I will be getting back on. They just haven't said when yet.
Okay. A lot of our listeners would be excited by that sentence as well. So I'm not alone there. It's as close as we're going to get to right now. Folks out there, keep signing the petition to have Kelsey Grammer appear on the show as Dr. Fraser Crane, and he can do it. Yeah, I'll even subject myself to a diagnosis. How about that? We'll both do one. There it is. So we're starting. Some people on Twitter want us to start a petition to get Kelsey Grammer as Fraser Crane on here. So let's get on that, people. Let's get working on that. But it sounds cool. It sounds like you had a fun time.
Absolutely.
And it's cool.
Comic recommendations.
Yes. All right. Go first, because yours is rather predictable usually every time we do this. So
anytime there's a new Tom King issue out, it's a pretty good bet that that's going to be my pick. And yes, Batman number 51 would be my pick. Seeing Bruce deal with the aftermath of Batman number 50. I mean, it's really emotional stuff, but really well written. It's great to get another Mr. Freeze story. And he's one of my favorite villains. So to see Tom King tackling him is really cool. There's some really cool stuff. It's basically Bruce at jury duty, and some really cool stuff there. And it ends in a way that sort of makes you raise your eyebrow, and it makes me really excited for what's to come next. So I thought this was, and there's a really cool scene with Gordon that reminds me a lot of Nightfall. So if you read it, maybe you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but that was good. I will say I read it in there.
You know what I'm talking about with that scene?
And there is some very interesting Batman, like actual Batman moments in it.
Yes,
with him in costume. I think Jordan's comparison is a good one.
Thank you. And I'll throw in one honorable mention for my, if that's cool.
Yeah, do it.
Just because I've been rereading the Batman Strikes comics, which, as I've said before, that's the first comic book series I ever read regularly. Uh-huh. So I have an immense love for those because, like I said, the Batman is what made me a diehard Batman fan. Uh-huh. But then by extension, I mean, the Batman Strikes comics did what they're supposed to do because I love the Batman so much. And so I got into comics by saying, hey, I want to check out the tie-in comics to the show. And that's what got me into comics. So I've been going back and rereading them. And just, I mean, I love them just as much as I ever did. So they're so amazing. Yeah, so
because I've seen, like, whenever you read one, it shows up on my Facebook feed. And so I actually may want to, I think I'm going to check those out.
Have you never read them before?
I've never read them.
They're so good.
This was when I was still doing mostly physical, when those were coming out. Mm-hmm. At that point I was collecting so much that it's like adding another one was unheard of. But now that I'm doing things digitally more so, I think I can work that in. So I'll definitely catch up on those.
Awesome.
Who knows? Maybe when we do get to the Batman, we'll add a Batman Strikes review in there as well.
That would be awesome.
We'll see how the reading the read through goes, but that'll be a while down the road. So I think it's manageable. But yeah, so cool. My comic recommendation is something that I just finished up reading a couple of weeks ago, but I don't think I mentioned it on the show, and that is Batman, The Dark Prince Charming, Volume 2. Without getting into spoilers, it's a very Batman Joker-centric storyline. There is a young child involved that is apparently revealed to be Bruce's. And the Joker kidnaps this child. That of course was all in the first one. And I think I mentioned the first one a while back, but the second one, what I will say is that one of my potential theories actually came true that I had. And so I was very happy about that. But the story itself is fantastic. The way Joker is written, the way Harley Quinn is written, seeing more of Bruce and Batman with that paternal instinct for, I mean, we've seen it with Damian, but it's, and you know, with to a degree with Tim and Dick and all that, but to see it with a little girl who is not part of his crime fighting world is a different dynamic, and it's very interesting. And then there's the ending that has a little bit of a twist that's interesting. I really think that there is room for more in this line, like in this with this story, if the artist, the writer slash artist chooses to do so, and I hope he does. But if he chooses to leave it there, that's cool too. So I would recommend it. I think it's fantastic. It's one of the better modern graphic novels I've read, and it could very well go down, you know, as time progresses as a Batman classic. So I'd recommend it 100%.
Awesome.
Cool. I'll make a recommendation because I plan on checking it out. I haven't checked it out yet, but I'm going to, so I recommend that you do. And that is the Injustice Masters of the Universe tie-in that they just released. I don't know if you saw that. It's a six-issue. I think it's a six-issue or a four-issue miniseries of some sort. But as a kid, I grew up being a big fan of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. And so, you know, there has been a Justice League Masters of the Universe crossover before, which I thought was excellent. But seeing it within the Injustice continuity and all that's happened there has me really excited. So I'm definitely going to be picking that up. So I recommend everybody does the same.
Cool. Well, I will say the Injustice 2, like the main comics, are just killing it. So there was some great Batcat stuff in the most recent issue that I loved, so I'll throw that in as well.
Cool.
As long as you brought that up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now we can move into our. We're sort of going to do things in a little bit different format this week. I've got a specific order, and there's a reason why we're doing it in this order. But we're going to start out with the Titans trailer, which dropped, and oh my goodness, it's here. This trailer, oh man, I was blown away by this trailer. I really was, man.
Yeah, I am 100% on board with the show. I was before, but the trailer made me even more excited.
I'm totally with you. Brenton is Robin and Tegan is Raven. It looks like they're going to focus on them two, yeah, at least mostly at first, before we see Beast Boy and Starfire join them. And so they get the most focus in the trailer, and I'm loving both of them in their respective roles so far. That stuff with the flying Graysons at the beginning of the trailer gave me chills, dude. Like, I got chills watching that.
Yeah, the flashback.
Yes. The Robin action looks awesome.
Yeah.
They're really playing up the horror elements with Raven.
Well, yeah, and that makes a lot of sense because Raven, you know, Raven and her power set and her connection to, you know,
Trigon, yeah.
So it all makes sense.
Yeah. And it looks, does it not look so scary?
Oh, yeah, when she goes into full, I don't know, I wouldn't call it full because I don't think we've seen the full extent of her powers. But when she goes into that, you know, trance kind of power on mode or whatever you want, however you want to say it, it does look kind of like a horror film. It's almost like I was actively looking for James Wan's name to appear in, in some of the credits.
Well, he'll be involved in the DC Universe with Swamp Thing, just not with this film.
It's not connected, but. As I was watching the Raven stuff, I'm like, holy crap, can you imagine what they're going to do with Swamp Thing?
Yes.
That was definitely going on in the back of my mind, for sure.
Well, we don't know that they won't be in this. They might be in the same universe.
No, I'm just saying, I didn't mean that. I'm just saying, it's not connected in the sense that it had, like, Swamp Thing had nothing to do with this trailer. But it called to mind, I was thinking of, if they're going this direction with Raven stuff.
I see what you're saying.
Imagine what they're going to do with Swamp Thing that has horror elements also built into it, right?
Yes. So. And Robin's got that line where he's like...
So we're going to go there.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that line. Right. I'm talking about his line because we're talking about the horror element.
Well, we are going to go there, but yeah, okay.
He has that line where he's like... I didn't used to believe in monster. I used to think monsters weren't real, but not anymore. Mm. And that line just was like, oh man, like it just got me hyped. And like any times when they sort of touch back on the history of Robin and like, yes, let's talk about that line because it shows us where they're at. The line you're referring to, which I know has been a little bit controversial, but it shows us where Robin's relationship with Batman is at this point, which I think is really interesting, which is they're certainly not going the Earth 16 route. It does indeed look like Dick and Bruce have had a falling out, which I'm totally cool with because as much as I love like Greg Wiseman's take where he prefers them not have a falling out and where they're still on good terms on Earth 16 in Young Justice, I also love when they do have a falling out, like with the DCAU or in the comics. In the episode Old Wounds from the DCAU. It's one of my favorite episodes. Yeah. So anyway, it does indeed look like Dick and Bruce have a falling out. And like what I was trying to touch on here is whatever they give us with sort of the history of Robin, like I'm really excited for the show to dive into Dick Grayson's past and to find out what he's referring to with that other line he has about him used to not believe in monsters, but now he does.
Yeah, that's my question. What was he talking about? Like, what's the monster? The monster he's referring to, I nailed it down to three potential things.
Okay.
He could obviously be talking about the Joker.
Yeah.
He could be talking about the person he's become, you know, a little bit unhinged, more violent, more, you know, more angry.
Yeah.
Or in the state of mind he is. He's in. Could he be talking about Batman? Those were the three.
Yeah, I like your theories. I like your theories.
Now, before we get into the controversy, because I have some things to say about that, I have a little mini rant. Adam's rant is about. This should really be. By the way, the amount of times I go on a rant should be its own segment. But for now, Adam's rant is back. But I'll get to that in a minute. Because before we get to that, what did you think of some of the other stuff that wasn't as focused as, you know, Raven and Robin were. So, in our quick glimpses of Starfire and Beast Boy,
Hawk and Dove.
What'd you think of all that?
Shoot, well, we didn't get much of them, but what we did get looked awesome. I loved it. I can't wait to see more of them.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I'll start kind of in a different direction. Seeing Dove use her wings as a weapon, like in a fighting, was incredible. Like the brief quick glimpses we got was great, and just the bone crunching realism of all of this is impressive. It was striking. It very much, in terms of your tone, feels like something you'd see on Netflix.
I can see that.
Right? Like.
Yeah.
So I dug that. We didn't get much of Hawk. He was there in one quick glimpse, but we didn't get much of him.
Smallville alum Alan Ritchson.
Yeah, but I'm sure we will be getting more of him for sure. And then with Starfire, I like the effect. I really do. I like the fact that as she's lighting up and as she's using her powers, you can see the orangey tinge of her skin, right? Like that's when you see the more comic looking version of her. In terms of people complaining about her visual look, like the quote unquote costume, I don't even think that's her costume, to be honest with you. I think at that whatever moment we're seeing, I think that's just her in the dress, like in the dress that she was out in. I think it's as simple as that in that one particular scene. No, I don't think she's going to be wearing a costume that's as scantily clad as she is in some comics. But I'm sure at some point there will be a costume, so I'm not overly obsessing about that. And the fixation people have with her hair has got to be one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. To me, it reeks of ridiculousness, that complaint. And then the people that are still pissed off that the actress is a person of color, you guys just need to leave humanity because that's just ridiculous. I've put it this way, not where I posted it, because most of the multiverse musings people are cool that I've come across. But in other places where I've seen it posted, there's still every five comments or somebody, but Starfire is not black. Well, what did you expect them to hire an alien? Because those are in short supply that we know of. I mean, Area 51, I've never been there. I don't know what's in there. But from what we know of, they're in short supply. So they had to go with an actress. And this one happens to be a person of color. But I trust that she's the best person for the job. So I had no problem with any of that. And now I'm going to go on a mini rant. So I guess I can't say the line, right? Because then we'll get flagged by...
Yeah, yes, but we know, everybody knows the line.
So Robin says F, as in, can I spell it? Spelling it?
Everybody out? Knows what you're saying. You don't have to spell the line.
So anyway, Robin says, basically, during his fight with, I don't know if they're muggers or whatever they are, basically there's this cool scene where he, first you see him jumping across rooftops, then he, or maybe he could have been also using his grappling gun across the roof that we didn't really see, but it just looks like he was leaping across rooftops. And then he jumps down, he descends on the car. Which was an awesome shot.
Did it give you Batman Begins vibes from the dock scene?
It did, it very much did, yeah. That's a good pull. And so then... one of the criminals asked him, where is Batman? And we see basically Robin just takes this guy apart. There's bone crunching hits. There's stabbing in the collarbone area. He cracks somebody's jaw with his foot, he's stepping on his jaw. And then at the end of all that, Robin says, F Batman, in response to the guy who asked him, where's Batman? This has apparently caused a seismic rapture of the internet. Because, heaven forbid, Robin utter a swear word. Because Robin is apparently only allowed to run around saying, holy this, holy that, you know, holy some such. Look, I've heard the argument where people are saying this is a Teen Titans show and it should be aimed at kids. It should be accessible to kids. But here's the thing. We have two versions of Teen Titans that are accessible to kids. We have Teen Titans Go, which many times I said is personally not my cup of tea, but what have I said every single time, Jordan? I'm glad it is.
You're glad for the people who like it.
Thank you.
That
exists as an entryway for kids. That's what I said.
Yeah.
So there's that. There's also Young Justice. That's a middle ground between something for kids and something for adults. It's that in between.
And there's the original Teen Titans animated series too.
Yeah.
Which still airs in reruns on Cartoon Network. They actually, well, I shouldn't say still. It wasn't for a while, and now it's back. So.
Yeah. So this idea that a Teen Titans show in live action or any version of the Teen Titans has to be accessible to young kids, I don't believe it. I don't buy it. But even if you feel that way, we have, what, you mentioned three versions that are accessible to kids. So
yeah.
To me, this is not a big issue. And now somebody brought up, well, there should be something on the streaming service that's accessible for kids.
There is. Well,
exactly. There's Batman Beyond. There's Batman the Animated Series. Justice League, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, there are people that will.
And Young Justice.
Right. And there are people that fire back. Yeah, but. It should be something. I mean, I guess they're not counting Injustice. Like they're talking more of the kiddie variety, more something along the lines Teen Titans Go, because we don't know if that's going to be on the streaming service or not. But they're like something new should be accessible to kids. And that's their
hang. Well, yeah, Young Justice. It's new. Yeah, it's season three is new.
But they don't count. They don't count. I guess these people weren't counting Young Justice as being accessible for the young, you know, the quote-unquote kiddies out there, you know, the younger crowd, the even, you know, because it is, Young Justice is more mature than, let's say, Teen Titans Go, obviously.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But so I guess.
But it's still at the bottom of the day, it's still a all-ages show.
Yeah, but my thing is, even if you don't count, quote-unquote, something new on there yet, I'm sure there's something coming. I'm sure the DC Universe streaming service is not going to alienate that segment of the audience. There will be something. I feel very confident in saying that there will be something for children. The other thing that you got to look at in terms of this TV mature rating for the Titans is getting is they're basing this off, or this is heavily influenced by. The new Teen Titans, which was in the 80s, I think it was
Marv Wolfman, George Perez, Judas Contract,
And what did that have? That had Slade Wilson using and sleeping with Tara, right? Who was
15, yes.
16 at the time, let's say, right? She was underage, right?
Yeah.
Everybody reads that story. Oh my God, this is exceptional. Right? Right? That's most of the reaction.
And it is. It's a phenomenal story. Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. That's generally the reaction, correct?
Yeah.
I've yet to see a hang up over the, in all my perusing of the internet. Now, granted, I don't spend every waking hour, so maybe I haven't done a quote unquote due diligence. But everything I've seen, nobody's overly complain about that issue.
Oh no, I hear that often brought up as the one big complaint against the Judas contract. Like even people who love it, like myself.
I haven't seen that blown out of proportion as the way Robin's F-bomb was. Like, it's not even close. But if what they're basing it, if the material they're basing it off of was able to push the envelope or push the envelope, that's what, you know, and Geoff Johns said, we're trying to emulate what that comic was, which was boundary pushing. And he's come out and said that. And so the 80s comics weren't all light and fuzzy, you know, and you know, there weren't fart jokes. There weren't, you know, pancakes. It wasn't that. And so, and that's okay. Like I said, I think it's fascinating that there are three versions, or I guess four, of the same property that are vastly different from each other.
Yeah.
That's fantastic to me. And on the subject of Robin being that angry and that violent and using those words, well, let me point this out. If your boss, let's say, because if your boss, you know, pisses you off and sort of Batman could be classified as, you know, Nightwing superior, like a boss-like situation.
Sure.
If you have a falling out with your boss and he pisses you off, I bet you 99.9% of people at some point will say, F so-and-so, whoever their boss happens to be. Right? That's a fair thing to say. Also, let's remember this is a Teen Titans show. I'm pretty sure most teens have said the F word at one point or another. Like, we're not talking about Leave It. This is not the age of Leave It to Beaver. Mr. Rogers is no longer in the neighborhood. like, it's you know, teens are teens. I've heard teens talk like that. It's not shockingly new.
But Robin's not even a teen in this. I mean, at this point, he's working.
But that's beyond the point. I'm just saying, because people like to say, it's Teen Titans. It should be accessible to teens.
Well, first of all, it's not actually called Teen Titans. It's called Titans.
I get that. But the complaint I'm hearing is it's still, quote unquote, Teen Titans, and it should be accessible to kids. But my argument is, okay, if it is Teen Titans, guess what? Teens actually swear. And my third point of I want to make is that Robin's pissed off. He's angry. He's frustrated of being in Batman's shadow. Of course he's going to lash out and be a little bit more violent. And by the way, people were complaining that, oh, Robin killed? A Warner Brothers source has had to come out and say that, no, Robin did not kill. When the guns were going off, he was shooting them in the air to scare the criminals. And yeah, he stabbed the guy in the collarbone in the arm.
Yeah.
But he didn't kill him. And he also, and it's also been confirmed that he broke his jaw. He didn't break his neck. So no, Robin didn't kill anybody. Was he violent? Yeah. But he didn't kill anybody.
Yeah.
So. But I think it's ridiculous that because of the overreactions of people, that a spokesperson connected to the DC universe has to come out and clarify. Because we've gotten to an age where we judge a trailer to the degree of, God forbid we watch the actual show, and then, after seeing everything in context, make a judgment. God forbid that happens nowadays. So yeah, I thought it was great. And again, if you didn't like the content, or you didn't like the way you know certain things were framed in the trailer, or how certain characters are handled, people are well within their right to have that. But this argument that Teen Titans has to be a property that is exclusively built to children, I think is an erroneous argument, personally. What are your thoughts, Jordan? Anything to add on that?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with what you're saying in that I don't have any problem. I don't have a problem with the single thing in this trailer. I, like I said, I was blown away by this trailer. I loved it, and I'm even more excited. I was already extremely excited for Titans, and this just made me even more excited. Like, I can't wait. So I already this actually is a segue into a little news topic. I guess we'll just cover briefly here. We got price points for DC Universe, which are $7.99 a month or $74.99 a year. So I immediately pre-ordered. I got the annual subscription, so I am all set for when Titans premieres, and I'm so excited to watch it.
Well, I can't buy it yet, but when I can, I will be buying it. So there's the and the price point is, I think it's very fair.
It's lower than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. I would have paid it pretty much no matter what it was. But
I was willing to go as high as about. If they had said $15 a month, I'd be like, all right, I'm in. But you know, that I think that was. But it's nowhere close to that. It's almost half that. So
I was very pleasantly surprised.
So I'm good. Whenever they make it available for Canadians, I will pay the money. So yeah, they've got my money.
Cool. Yeah, I'm so excited. This trailer, amazing, I thought. Yeah. So anyway, I'm glad to hear we're on the same page about this. Yeah. Alrighty, well, moving into our film news. Like I said, we're doing this a little bit differently. There's a reason for it. Usually we do all our trailers up front, but I've got a reason for it because some of the film news, I want to do the film news before we talk about the trailers that relate to that news. So, but the first thing is something we don't have a trailer for because it hasn't even started filming yet, but we know now when it is going to start filming, which is very exciting, which is the Joker origin film with Joaquin Phoenix, which is going to start filming in September, and I guess I'll tie these two pieces of news together because not only is it going to start filming in September, but the other piece of news that we got about it is that it now has a release date of October 4th, 2019, which for me is incredibly exciting because my birthday is on October 3rd. So October 3rd, 2019 will be my 21st birthday, and that is obviously, they usually do the preview, like Thursday night preview screenings that I always go to when it comes to a DC movie.
Oh, good. So you've been watching it on your birthday.
Exactly. I am getting a freaking Joker movie on my birthday. I am so excited about this. This has never happened before. This year, we're getting a direct-to-video DC movie, which is DC Superhero Girls Legends of Atlantis. We're getting that the day before my birthday on October 2nd this year. But never before has a DC movie actually hit theaters on my birthday. But that's happening, and I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, no, it's amazing at how this is coming together. You know,
come together.
I don't want to say
right? Like Justice League.
Yeah, but I don't want to say quickly because that's not the case at all. But in terms of, you know, it's clear that, you know, there's a vision for this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you just let the filmmaker do their thing and sort of without meddling, you just how smoothly things seem to be going. And that release date is cool. I'm glad you're getting something on your birthday.
Thank you.
Provided that they don't change the release date down the line, but who knows? I just hope not. But, you know, I'm excited for this. We've learned that actress Zazie Beetz, who played Domino in Deadpool 2, is in talks for a role for this film. As is supposedly Robert De Niro. So We've got, you know, we've got a release date. We've got a title, which is simply Joker, which makes a lot of sense, obviously. And we've got some top tier talent aboarding this thing. And I think because it is it's an off brand DC label, and because it's got a lower budget, and looking at the talent involved, I'm starting to get the feeling that we're gonna get something very unique and very special with this movie. At least that's my hope.
Yeah.
So
I think so too.
I'm super excited.
I just found out that I do actually know Zazie Beetz. I haven't seen Deadpool 2 yet, but she was in Geostorm. And she was that computer genius. I don't remember her that well, but I remember liking her. She was like like the computer person.
Yeah.
So, have you seen Geostorm?
I have not, but the way you're describing her, it's kind of like an Oracle kind of thing.
Yeah. So anyway, I liked her in that movie. Cool.
So there you go.
So yeah, that's cool. And I mean, who doesn't love Robert De Niro? But I'm a big fan of De Niro. I love pretty much every role he's ever been in. Even movies that I'm not the biggest fan of that he was in, I still love him in the movies. But no, he's one of the most legendary actors ever. So like, yeah, the fact that he's in it, or the fact that he's in talks to be in it, if he does wind up being in it, I would be thrilled about that, because like, oh my goodness, he's a phenomenal actor.
Right, agreed. Yeah.
So that is exciting. Moving on, I actually, like I said, things are a mess, so I wanted to have everything in order, but now I don't. But I'm still trying to do it mostly in the order. But I just realized I meant to talk about, for us to talk about the Young Justice trailer after we talked about the Titans trailer. So we're going to jump back to that real quick and talk about the Young Justice trailer. Because of my computer not being able to handle so much news, like literally, I was talking to Adam, we actually had some little bit of trouble getting things together, to record today, because my computer literally could not handle having so many tabs and so much news open. But anyway, that's why we're a little bit jumbled up today, but we're going to jump back to that Young Justice trailer, and talk about that, because wow. This was amazing. Jamie Drewley from Holy Backcast, you can finally believe it's coming back, right?
Yeah, he posted about that. And
oh, did he?
Yeah, he did. And he goes,
what did he say?
I think it was something along the lines of, it's real. And he used a lot of shocked emojis, happy emojis, you know, the emojis with the hearts and eyes and all that stuff. And then to which Andy responded, finally. so yeah, that's a little fun. So it's going to be fun to hear their Comic-Con wrap up, just to hear Andy rib him about that.
The trailer, it does start off with a lot of old footage, like they often do with TV trailers.
Yeah.
For a returning show, obviously Titans they didn't, because it's a new show, but with returning shows, they often start out with footage, you know, catching you up on what's been happening. I mean,
yeah.
I didn't really need to catch up, but it's still cool to see the old moments. I mean, I didn't forget about that, but it's cool to get a recap of what's happened, I guess. I definitely needed some tissues for the beginning of this, because there's a lot of Spitfire feels here in the first couple minutes of this trailer. Really focusing on that, and obviously. That relationship had a devastating end. That character, one of the characters in that relationship, had a devastating end. I don't know. I feel like I'm talking around it to avoid spoilers, but spoilers, if you have not gotten caught up in Young Justice, catch up on Young Justice before season 3.
Yeah, you have to know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, so it starts out with a lot of Spitfire stuff, and which is great. I love their relationship. But then it moves into new stuff. It looks like we're going to get a lot of New Gods stuff in season 3, which is very exciting, focusing on the metahuman trafficking as well, which we've heard for a while now is going to be a focus. We're getting Geo-Force in it, which makes me wonder if maybe Tara will wind up being involved in this somehow at some point.
Well, so they said she was the one. She was one of the ones that was kidnapped, right?
Is she?
Yeah, they alluded to that in the trailer. They said your sister has been...
Oh my goodness, you're right.
Yeah. So.
Oh my goodness, so we are getting Tara. That is very. I mean, we've gotten at this point two different adaptations of the Judas Contract in animation, because we got it in season 2 of the original Teen Titans animated series, And then we got it in the Teen Titans Judas Contract animated movie. But I still am really excited to see what Greg Wiseman and Brandon Vietti would do with that storyline. So, like, oh my goodness, that is exciting. Yes, I don't know how, why I didn't put that together. Like, and even, I'm looking at the trailer now, she even says Princess Tara here, yeah, missing for 2 years, and it's Cat Grant's news report. So, yes, I don't know how I missed that. But, yes, that's very exciting. So, I can't wait to see what they do with her. The New God stuff, obviously, that was set up at the end of season two with Darkseid, and I'm really excited to see more of that.
Yes.
We see this one scene that reminded me a little bit of the scene from Justice League where it's Lois in bed, and she's, like, reminiscing about Clark. And we see it with Artemis here reminiscing about Wally, which was sort of a great lead-in from the Spitfire stuff at the beginning of the trailer, moving into that. So, yeah, this trailer, I mean, there's a lot of quick cuts in the second half of the trailer.
Yeah, we see Shazam in there.
We see Shazam. We see the Flash. Yeah. The two of them were fighting together. We see Bane fighting Batman, yeah, which, I mean, I always love watching Batman and Bane fight, so that's exciting. We see Cheshire. We see Blue Beetle. We see Bart as Kid Flash now. I think Dr. Fate's there briefly. Man, so much, like I said, it cuts really quickly, so we don't get that much of any of these things, but all these little teases getting me really, really excited, man.
Yeah, I mean, the animation is great. I loved it. It looks great. I miss
Bill Barassa, dude.
Yeah, I miss the look of these guys. I miss the visuals. Mm-hmm. It's like, they threw a lot at us, and I'm just like, finally it's back. This is my, you know, version of the Teen Titans that I gravitate towards, at least in terms of animation. And so I'm 100% ready for this. I know it's dropping in 2019, but, you know, the sooner that this happens, that this is available for me to watch, the better. I can't wait, and I am going to do a rewatch of both seasons of Young Justice, and I'm sure at some point we'll discuss them on here, you know, down the road. But yeah, I'm stoked. I can't wait. Bring it on. Bring it on.
Yes. Amen to that. Amen to that. So I know, like I said, I know it's a little bit jumbled. Bouncing back to our film news, let's talk about some Shazam news that came out before we got the trailer, obviously at Comic-Con, which is, first off, Jimon Hounsou is returning to the DC Universe in Shazam. Well, I guess we could talk about these two things combined. He's going to be an Aquaman, and in fact, we got a picture of him as the Fisherman King in Aquaman. And so he's going to be in that. Then we saw him. We saw what looked like that picture in the trailer.
Yeah, and the cool thing is you can't recognize him, so, because he's in prosthetics and all that.
Yeah, it's sort of like how Patrick Wilson is the president in the DCEU, and he's also Ocean Master, but it doesn't really matter because you don't actually see him as the president.
Right, exactly.
So I consider it the same thing here. But he's returning to the DC Universe because he was Papa Midnight in the Constantine movie. So that's why I say he's returning to the DC Universe.
Yeah.
He will be playing... Oh, originally, we had heard that Ron Safis Jones was going to be playing the Wizard, but he had a scheduling conflict. So apparently, Jimon Hounsou actually filmed scenes as the Wizard. We see him in the trailer, so we'll talk about that later. Very exciting. I love Jimon Hounsou. Thought he was great in the Constantine movie. And I'm excited to see him in both Aquaman and in Shazam.
Yeah. Good character actor, and I'm totally on board with this, and it still gives me hope that if they can do this with him, that maybe we can see Mark Strong somehow as Sinestro in Green Lantern Corps. That's my hope.
I did not think about that.
Because he's going to be a prosthetic, you know, he'll look like Sinestro.
Yeah.
Which will look different enough from Dr. Savannah in Shazam. So,
yeah, very good point.
That's my hope, but I'm totally on board with this casting.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. So, moving on to some more Shazam news, which is that, and again, I've got it all out of order. I had a very specific order for this, which is...
The first official picture.
Yeah, I wasn't sure which one. There was one I was going to talk about first, and then...
The one with him and Freddie Freeman drinking the...
Yeah, okay, yeah, that you're right. That was the one I think that we were going to talk about first.
Drinking
the
sodas, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no. The first one was... Was that the first one?
Yeah, it was the first one.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, let's talk about that one first. Yes. So, it seems to me... First of all, I love this picture. Seems to me that like 90% of the Shazam marketing is going to involve Shazam drinking something, because that was that first image we got that Zachary Levi posted, and now we get another one here of him drinking something, which is pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and if you think about it, it's probably a case of maybe, you know, Billy is not allowed to drink much soda. So when he has the freedom to do so as the adult, you know, superhero, he's going to take full advantage of it. And it makes total sense. If you tell a kid they can't do something, right, when they're, if they got a chance to be an adult, then I think they'd take advantage of that. So it definitely makes total sense. And it just, that image exudes sort of the tone of the film. And, you know, that fun sort of wish fulfillment idea that's present in Shazam, and I'll get back on touching that. So I think, yeah, I think it's a cool first picture, and it's very different from, you know, the rest of the DC films to this point in their first release pictures. But that's okay, because I think this film is going to be very different.
Yeah. Well, then we got this second picture of Freddie, like with Billy as Shazam, and he's like touching the lightning bolt on his chest, which is pretty cool, like geeking out about it. We actually see this moment in the trailer, so we know now exactly what's going on there, which is Freddie's like freaking out about how cool the lightning bolt looks, which again, just a really another like this film, just the thing I can say about everything we're getting from Shazam is it just looks like a blast, and that's the case with this picture.
It's going to be so much fun, and I know a lot of people online have done side-by-side comparisons of, you know, the there was a scene where, I don't know if it was Batman or, I mean, Batman was pushing, was about to push Superman or whatever.
Oh, yeah, from BVS.
Yeah, had his hand on his chest and then sort of.
Oh, that's funny.
Paralleling that, so
there's also the one where Lois puts her hand on Superman's crest.
Yeah. So there's a lot of parallels people are making, and so
did anybody post that one too?
I believe I saw that. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but again, I'm so down with the image, and I like the look of the suit. I love the look of the suit. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So that one looks awesome as well. Then I want to talk about, we got an Entertainment Weekly cover with Shazam blowing bubble gum, which is really funny.
Wasn't he on a cell phone as well? I think there was one.
Yeah, he's got a cell phone in his hand.
Which also plays into the trailer, which will, the cell phone.
Yep.
Yeah, right? Again, it just...
We know his cell phone is charged up, don't we?
Oh, yes, we do.
But and then
it sells the whole idea. Big with big meet Superman. I think
And then we get the final picture we got before the trailer, which is Billy and Freddy. Like in now we know based on the trailer that it's their room, but we see them with all this DC memorabilia in the background. Like there's a Superman baseball cap. There's a Batman action figure. There's a Batman Batarang, which, man, I wish I had that prop. There's a Time magazine featuring the Battle of Metropolis. There's some other Superman, cups and stuff. There's a Daily Planet article saying Superman is back on the wall. Just really cool. I just love the fact that Freddy...
Post-Justice League, yes.
So I just love the fact that Freddy is a huge superhero fan. That's certainly going to make it easy for me to relate to him, you know?
definitely. I think we're both, you know, I think we're both going to be able to identify with Freddy.
Yeah.
Because of his And he's a DC fanboy, like we are. And
yeah.
except he gets to live in that world, and we don't, you know. But
yeah.
the whole time I was wondering, I had two thoughts when I was looking at this picture. I want the excuse me. The two thoughts sure. were, I want everything in this room.
Some of it I have. I think I have that Batman action figure.
Yeah, probably. And then, but
because I have, let's see, that's. That looks like one of the, I mean, it's kind of blurry because in the background it looks like the Batman v Superman, not the, it looks like the not the multiverse line, but the regular Mattel line.
Yeah.
I think, I don't think it's the Justice League one. Actually, I have the Justice League one sitting right here. Actually, maybe it is the Justice. I don't know, but yeah, I might have that figure actually because yeah, I've got the Justice League Batman figure from that line sitting right here on my bookshelf. So.
Yeah, and then the other thing was. How much did he spend on eBay to get, you know, some of these, you know?
The Batarang's the big one that must have been really expensive. Yeah, he must have been saving up for that for a
also,
long time.
Also, there was a close up of the of like what was in there, and he's got a bullet, and the bullet was revealed to be one of the bullets Batman was firing at Superman, you know, during the BVS fight.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I think it's a certificate of authenticity
yeah,
for the there.
Bullet. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
yeah,
I wonder. How much disposable income does this kid have?
Yeah, right.
And where did he get it? Because I want some of those.
I mean, he's a foster kid, and he's like 14 years old. I don't know where he got all this money, but
maybe he's stealing it. I don't know, but yeah.
It's, anyway, yeah. It's cool though.
Oh, for sure.
So anyway, that is our Shazam news. We're not going to get to the trailer yet because we're going to finish talking about our film news and then we'll get to the trailer for that.
Yeah.
But moving on to Aquaman news, which is, first of all, we got a new picture released, which is what I was talking about before of the Fisherman King, Jimon Hounsou. And I'll just say it looks really, really cool. We saw this in the trailer. We see this shot actually in the trailer. He's like the characters in it, they're like blue and green in this shot. First of all, it just looks so vibrant. It reminds me a little bit of Avatar, the way those characters look. And it also reminds me a little bit of Valerian, which came out last year, just in terms of the way the visuals look. Just so vibrant, just so... I mean, this world, it's going to be so cool to explore this world in the movie. And I'm excited, like I said before, I'm excited to see Jimon Hounsou in this role. So that'll be cool.
Yeah, it looks great. And the thing that sort of struck out to me, I mean, you're 100% right with how colorful and vibrant it looks. But also, the thing that I found interesting is that James Wan said it was a mix of practical makeup and visual effects. And I love that. You know, James Wan seems to be going for a mix of both. Whereas, you know, some directors rely too heavily on 100% CGI.
Yeah, I think he said like the top part of him is practical, and then, yeah. You know, the bottom part is CGI. So that, I mean, it makes sense.
But I love that there's a mix.
Yeah, yeah. There's
a balance. So that's encouraging. Yeah, the image looks, I can't wait.
That looks cool. So then we also got our first poster for Aquaman, which features Arthur there with his trident and all these sea life behind him. And, man, this looks so cool. It says Home is Calling, which I guess is going to be the tagline for the movie, which I think is really cool. The DCEU had some really good taglines over the years. You know, they had Who Will Win for Batman v Superman, which is cool. They had All In for Justice League, and they got Home is Calling for this, which is just I dig that. Just all this sea life in this one, I don't know, that's cool to me. I've always kind of liked sea life, like seeing it in movies. Like I saw comparisons of this to Finding Nemo, which I've always liked Finding Nemo because of all the sea life in it. It's kind of cool. Like, I like exploring underwater worlds. I'm actually really excited for the Meg. I'm excited to see that sea life is going to be play heavily in the Aquaman, as it should. I mean, that makes sense. Yeah. So I'm excited to see that really be the focus of this. And I mean, Jason Momoa just looks awesome in this poster. So that's just really cool.
Yeah, I was 100% on board with this picture, or this poster, I should say. I know some people complain that, oh no, you know, they took stock photos of sharks on Getty Images or whatever, and it's like, well, what did you expect them to do? Submerge Jason Momoa under the sea
with actual, a great white shark,
with actual sharks? Like, what the? Like, I don't understand. Like, again, sometimes when people speak on the or type on the internet, it's like, have you turned on your brain?
Well, I'm not sure it is a stock photo because we see some of these animals in the trailer.
But even if it is a stock photo, what did you
even
expect them to do?
It still looks awesome.
Yeah, yeah, but what I'm saying is, what did you expect them to do?
Yeah. I don't know. It looks awesome to me, so I don't even care if it is a stock photo. I don't care. It looks awesome.
I prefer – I love the idea of the what was it, Entertainment Weekly cover as a poster with all the characters. You know what I'm saying? Did you see that?
Yeah.
I of the two images, I prefer that one because it looks like a Drew Struzan, you know, Indiana Jones / Star Wars poster. It looks like those classic kind of things. So I prefer that one, but I like this one.
Looks awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we are in agreement on that.
Yeah.
Moving on to some Birds of Prey news. Which is that we have the main characters revealed. Well, other than Harley, obviously we've known about her for a while.
Yeah.
But the other characters are going to be Black Canary, the Helena Bertinelli version of Huntress.
Yeah.
Cassandra Cain and Renee Montoya. And let me just say, this lineup sounds awesome to me. First of all, I'm really excited to see Black Canary in a live-action movie. I'm hoping that this leads to maybe a Green Arrow Black Canary movie down the line. That would be really cool. In terms of Huntress, I would have preferred Helena Wayne just because of the Batcat connection, and I do prefer, like, I love both versions of Huntress, but if I had to pick one or the other, it is Helena Wayne. But yeah. I still love Helena Bertinelli, and I'm really excited to see her.
Yeah.
Cassandra Cain. Oh, man, that I did not see coming, but that's really exciting. I wonder whether she'll be Batgirl or whether she'll be Orphan or Black Bat in this, actually. I wonder what, moniker she'll be going under and what suit she'll be wearing, but I'm really excited to see her in it. And then Renee Montoya, I'm not sure she's actually going to be part of the team. She might actually – I feel like she could be like a cop.
Gotham cop.
Yeah, working like on the mission like simultaneously or whatever. But I'm really excited to see her. I wonder if this officially puts the nail in the coffin that we're never going to see her on Gotham again. I wonder if that means this. But, you know, in any case, I'm excited to see her in this movie.
When's the last time we saw her on Gotham, right?
Well, that's the thing. We haven't seen her since season one, and she fell off the face of the earth, and we've never heard anything again about her. So that's what I was wondering.
Well, apparently she's going to get recast and show up in Birds of Prey. There we have an answer.
But no, they said we were going to get confirmation on that in season four. I think Joshua Lappin Bertone, who's been on the show before, he asked one of them, I think, about that, and they said that they were gonna confirm what happened to her because they never even said what happened to her, and then it never happened. So I was sort of holding out hope maybe we'd see her again in season five. But in any case, and I wouldn't be opposed to her appearing both places, but you know, who knows what WB's rules are about that now.
It changes from week to week.
It does. But in any case, I you know, it's okay. I loved her in Gotham, but it's fine. But I am excited to see her here at the very least again because that's very exciting. I don't think they'll go the Question route with her. If they did, that would be cool.
But here's the cool thing. See, maybe not for this first appearance, but it opens up that possibility down the line.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. So the lineup, there's a second tiny bit of news that I want to talk about, but the lineup, I love it, like I said. What do you think, man?
Well, I'm totally on board with this lineup because we have two-thirds of the traditional Birds of Prey lineup, which is cool. We have Harley, which to me, you put her in any movie and I'm
in. Well, you could say you have all three of the traditional lineup. If Cassandra Cain winds up being Batgirl, then I would say
if you're getting technical, Batgirl wasn't part of the original lineup. But
that's true. She was. You're right. Yeah. It was Oracle at first, but now like with the Batgirl and the Birds of Prey book, it's because Barbara's Batgirl.
Fair enough. Yeah, so. Fair enough. But what, you know, I think everything we've heard about this movie, they've been promising us, you know, a diverse lineup. And you know, if you look at that, Rene Montoya has some Latin, Mexican, Spanish kind of vibe, right, going.
Yeah.
Cassandra Cain, obviously, is... adds to that diversity. So they're keeping true to their promise, which I like to see. And also, would it have been cool to have Oracle, Barbara there? Sure.
But who knows? Maybe the reason for this is because they want to save her for the movie that Christina Hodson's writing.
But what I'm saying is, would it have been cool? Sure. Am I, you know, twisting myself in knots because Barbara Gordon may or may not be there in the grand scheme of things? No, because, again, you know, I've heard a complaint. Well, you can't do a Birds of Prey movie without Barbara Gordon. And I'm like, well, who says? It's like, the beauty of these things are their adaptations. Nothing has to be, like, it doesn't have to be a blow-by-blow adaptation of a particular comic run. Like,
yeah,
we had a Superman movie, a Superman origin movie, without Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah, and it's the greatest live action Superman movie of all time.
The world, I agree with you. Some many will not, but I agree with you. But and guess what? The world didn't end.
Well, it almost did. I mean, Zod.
Well, I mean, our non-fictional world didn't end, is what I'm trying to say. So, this is this idea where it has to be. No, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have. I mean, and again, we know there's a Batgirl movie coming. We know that Barbara Gordon is at some point going to feature in this universe, and so I am totally okay with this. And the other thing this lineup sort of does is that it if you look at them, only one is sort of super has any superpowers at all, which is you know, Black Canary. So
and they could even go the Arrow Laura Lance route with that and not make her a metahuman, right? Just like a sonic necklace or something.
But
so.
In theory, one has superpowers. Which the lineup, again, not being chock full of superpowered people, falls in line with the quote unquote lower budget when compared to stuff like Suicide Squad and all that. So. On that front, it makes sense. And also, I understand the idea of not maybe Warner Brothers, because they say the idea of not having Barbara Gordon or Batgirl or I think they said, I think I read somewhere where one of the it may have been Humberto Gonzalez from The Wrap that said the idea not to have Barbara Gordon in this movie occurred relatively recently. Or relatively, not like yesterday, but, you know, relatively, by who knows when, but relatively speaking. And I get Warner Brothers' logic of maybe we don't want to put Batgirl, who is more synonymous with inspiring young girls the way Wonder Woman does, in an R-rated film. You know what I'm saying? And if that's their decision-making, I understand it. And I'm okay with it, but again, I'm intrigued by this lineup. I think it sounds cool. I can't wait till we start getting casting, which can't be too far away, because from everything we've heard from places like Omega Underground, it's gonna start filming in mid-January.
Can I throw in a fan cast I've had for Black Canary for a really long time?
Sure.
Tori Anderson.
I'm not sure who that is. But...
She was in that show No Tomorrow that I always talk about how much I loved it on the CW before it canceled. Yeah. She was the lead of that show, along with Brainiac 5, of course, Jesse Rath. Mm-hmm. He was in that show too. But ever since I watched that show, I thought she would be phenomenal as Black Canary. And she had a small role in Smallville in the episode Truth.
Okay. Well, I'll look her up and then let you know. But I'm
okay. There's a picture actually I posted on Instagram a long time ago. If you go far back enough in my feed, where I did a side by side of her with Black Canary, actually.
All right, I'll check it out. But I'm gonna go. Like, I love to see the popular fan cast for this role get cast, which is, I think it's Catherine Winnick from Vikings. I think that's her name. And she seems to be on board with the idea of playing the character, so that'd be cool.
Hey, well, her last name is synonymous with Judd Winnick, yeah, who wrote Green Arrow.
So maybe there's some good karma happening there.
I'm looking her up now to see if I know her from anything. How do you? Is it Catherine with a K or Catherine with a C? With a K, it looks like, yeah, actually. Never mind. Answer my own question. Catherine Winnick, huh? Let me see if I've seen her. Oh, she was in Geostorm.
Oh, well.
Let's talk about. I mean, didn't we just talk about somebody? Oh yeah, the Zazie Beetz. Geostorm. She was in. Okay, this Catherine Winnick was in Geostorm as well. I know. So I've seen her in that. Oh no, she was not in Geostorm. She was. I remember what happened with this. She got cut out of Geostorm, actually, and recast her. There was some controversy over that, okay. I remember. Like, she got recast.
Well, I know her from Vikings, so.
I don't even think I know what that is. What is that?
Batman, I don't know if you guys can hear it.
Hey, nice ringtone.
Batman, you're going to hear this song tonight. I don't know who's calling me, but whatever it is, it's fine. Let it ring.
okay. She was in 51st Dates, actually, with Adam Sandler and Batman Forever star Drew Barrymore. Which is one of my favorite movies of all time.
I know her from Vikings, but I like her, so it'd be cool if she got the role. But who knows? We'll see. At this point, I trust the DC Warner Brothers casting people to this point.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever they get for the role, I'm sure will be very talented.
They've knocked it out of the park so far with the DCEU,
so I'm
with you.
So I eagerly await those announcements, and I don't think they are far off.
Mm. Yeah, so hopefully we get news on that soon.
Yeah.
But the other part of that, which is just a little tidbit, which is that apparently the main villain is going to be a Batman villain who's never appeared in live action before,
yeah.
In a live action film.
It was supposed to be the Penguin,
but again,
was made to go another route, which then brings up the point, because remember Justin Kroll's. From Variety.
Yeah, he said it was either going to be in this or in the Batman.
Yeah, so has Matt Reeves made the decision to put Penguin in the Batman? Batman?
Maybe he has.
And I know he's friends with Andy Serkis, and Boss Logic did a badass.
Oh, I meant to tell you, I finally saw that picture of him you were talking about, and you were totally right. Yeah. That is awesome.
And so I'm just putting like, hey, Matt Reeves, you listen to this show. It's out there. Have you decided? Are you gonna? Is it gonna be? Who's it gonna be? What's going
on? Matt Reeves listened to our show, Adam.
No, I'm saying if he does. If you do, can you come on and tell us who's gonna be the villain? You know, off air, we don't care. We won't say anything. But yeah. So if it's a Batman villain that's never been in a movie before.
Mm-hmm. In a live action movie.
Yeah. Then I would love to see Black Mask.
Yeah, that's who Bill speculated in his article that it was too, and I'm with both you guys.
Yeah, I'll bang that drum with Bill.
I'm with you guys.
And then bang you over the head with a stick, but with a drumstick.
Bang what?
I'll bang the drum because you know that's Bill's saying, banging the drum. So I'll bang the drum with Bill on that, and simultaneously bang you over the head with the drumstick.
Why? I'm agreeing with you.
I don't know, just for fun. But would you rather me use a crowbar?
Oh my goodness.
To keep things in
No, I do not want you to go all Death in the Family.
He goes. Take the drumstick and move on.
but no, because Black Mask was going to be There was, he was speculated, or at least David Ayer had teased that he was going to be the villain of Gotham City Sirens. So maybe they're either moving him over here, maybe he's going to appear here first, and then maybe they'll put him in Gotham City Sirens as well.
But you know what else? I had a thought. You know who else?
What's that?
If it's not Black Mask, you know who'd be good?
Who's that?
Lady Shiva.
Oh, yeah. Because and she was in the Birds of Prey TV series.
Yeah. Oh, don't remind me of that episode because I want to rewatch it now.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is. Best Batgirl I've ever seen.
Yep. Live action.
Alicia Silverstone, you can suck it. No, I'm kidding.
Alicia Silverstone was awesome, too.
Well, no. But
Dina Meyer is definitely the best.
But also...
The only thing I'd put a hole in that theory is that Lady Shiva is going to be on Gotham next season. So you know how WB is.
And the reason I say Lady Shiva, too, is because remember, she is Orphan's mother. So there's that connection, right? So
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. I'm just saying that. Who knows what WB's rules are because she's appearing on Gotham next season.
And I want to throw something out there at you. In one of his recent articles, Mario Francisco Robles, who was supposed to be on this episode with us, but unfortunately is not well. I mean, nothing serious, but he's not feeling well. In one of his recent articles, basically kind of gave a little bit of a an update on the Batman and whatnot. He also said that Warner Brothers is interested in sort of exploring more with Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn. So all the projects that were in development could be back. Some of them could be back on the table because they want to make more movies with Margot. He likened it to almost wanting to have a mini Harley Quinn universe within the universe.
Let me cross my fingers that Gotham City Sirens.
What I'm trying to tell you is,
so I can get Catwoman.
Potentially, Gotham City Sirens could be back on the table.
Catwoman.
Don't go into a shock or a state of euphoria just yet. But the possibility is there. But so, yeah, I could see Lady Shiva. I could see, what do we say, Black Mask.
Black Mask. Black Mask, along with Professor Pig, has been, I think he's one of the most underrated Batman villains. I first came to love him, and you know what I'm going to bring up here? The animated series, The Batman, where he, in the episode The Breakout, where he is voiced by now Black Lightning star, former Gotham star, but before he was on Gotham or Black Lightning, he was on The Batman, James Remar, who played Black Mask and just gave a terrifying performance in that episode. So ever since I first saw that episode, The Breakout, which is the fifth episode of season 4 of The Batman, I've just loved Black Mask.
James Remar is such a great actor, by the way.
So
yeah, I'm cool with getting a new villain, a new Batman villain that we haven't seen on live action film before.
Yeah.
And Black Mask is fine by me. Lady Shiva is fine by me.
Yeah.
Who knows who else is a possibility? Well, again, it won't be too long before we find out via casting and stuff. So.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, sticking with film news, but moving on to animated film news, Mario was right.
Yeah.
Which is that Batman Hush is being adapted as an animated movie. We got the three, because obviously they usually do three DCU AOM releases per year. We thought we might only get two this year or two new ones in addition, because we knew Reign of the Superman was coming out early next year, and they usually do one very early in the year, one in the spring, and then one in the summer. But it turns out that they're actually going to do four next year. So they're doing Reign of the Superman early on, then they're doing In the spring, they're doing that's right. The Just League versus the Fatal Five is coming in the spring, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want to make sure I was right about that. Just League versus the Fatal Five, which is really, really exciting because I think the Fatal Five are awesome. And if we could get some Legion connections in there, you know, because they're primarily Legion villains.
That'd be cool, yeah.
So that would be very cool. The one thing we don't know is we don't know what continuity any of these movies are, so we don't know which one. Although there's an easy way to speculate about that, because usually what they do is they do the first... Okay, so usually the early year one, the winter one, and the spring one are in continuity.
From what I hear, Hush is in continuity.
Hush is in continuity, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That if that is the case, then that throws away my little dream that they would do it as a reunion film for The Batman, because... they originally, their first go at a Hush animated film was intended to be a sequel to the Batman versus Dracula,
yeah,
and set in the continuity of the Batman. And there's even concept art from that, and it fell through. So my dream was that they do what they did last year for the new Batman Adventures 20th anniversary, yeah, for a way that they did with Batman and Harley Quinn, and that they do something for the Batman's 15th anniversary next year and make the Hush film in the Batman continuity. So I guess that's a little bit out the window. So if it is, though, I love Hush. So I really, even though my dream would have been for it to be in the Batman continuity, still a dream come true for me. The only thing I can think about is getting that iconic Batcat rooftop kiss in animation. Like I can't even stop thinking about the possibility of that. And it just makes me so excited. I want to throw it out there, because we haven't seen Catwoman yet in the DCU AOM New 52 inspired shared universe. That means that we can get Jennifer Carpenter to reprise her role, and that would be amazing if she played.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I never thought of that. Yeah.
Which would be awesome, because she was outstanding in Gotham by Gaslight. Yeah. But so that's very exciting. So we got Hush coming in the summer, and then, like I said, we thought that was going to be it. So we thought it was going to be so my guess is that Justice League versus Fatal Five will be in continuity, because that's the spring one, which is usually in continuity.
I think that may be a separate thing from what
you think. That's a separate thing.
What I've heard, I think it's off brand. It's off.
Okay.
It's off.
So,
it's off.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. So maybe they'll change up the format and the pattern then.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
But then, finally, we're getting Wonder Woman Bloodlines, which is, we don't know many details about this, but my hope maybe is that it could finally be that sequel we've been waiting for after that Cheetah tease at the end of the 2009 Wonder Woman animated film, because we've been waiting. Next year it'll be 10 years since that. And obviously, having a Wonder Woman Cheetah anime movie would tie in very well with the Wonder Woman live-action film. And the timing will probably be perfect, too, because we know the Wonder Woman live-action film is coming out in November next year, which will probably be around the time that this extra film next year will be coming out. So, very exciting. Obviously, the one I'm most excited about is Batman Hush, but I'm extremely excited about the other two as well.
Well, yeah, Hush is, like I said, it's one of, if not my favorite, Batman comic story of all time. The other one, you know, the Justice League versus the Fatal Five.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like it could be fun, for sure. You know, the Return of Superman stuff, we already discussed of how excited, you know, we are that it's two-parter.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Wonder Woman finally getting another animated film is very warranted. And again, all it takes is that one live action movie that sort of rockets her into another level of mainstream popularity. And then look what you get. You finally get movement on a much overdue, you know, second animated film. And I'm stoked for that. So it's going to be a really good, like, think about 2019, Jordan. We're going to have three live action DC films.
Uh-huh.
And four animated films.
And that's only counting the DCU AOM line, because we usually get Lego ones too. We sometimes get little extra
but
ones.
Seven, so, imagine that. Seven.
And the DC Superhero Girls ones too.
Yeah, but seven, imagine that.
Yeah. I'm saying it'll probably be more like nine or ten.
Right, but just
total.
But just on principle. You know,
seven, yes, right? Just that we know about seven. Yes, wow.
Which is great. So, yeah, I'm
pretty incredible, dude.
I'm super excited. Bring on Hush. I just hope they do it justice, because I'm gonna be very, very picky with that one, because it is, like I said, my all-time favorite Batman story, so I'm going to have a keen eye on that one. Do it right. And I want to see Jim Lee's art style, damn it.
Well, if it's in continuity like you think it is, then it'll be Phil Barassa's style.
I know, but Phil Barassa imitating Jim Lee. How about that? There's my compromise. Or at least with some Jim Lee flavor.
Okay. How about that? Alrighty.
Alright.
Well.
Cool.
What's that?
Yeah, let's move on. That's...
Yes. Because we have some TV news, which is that you were talking about how many movies we're getting next year. My goodness, how many DC TV shows are on the air right now? It's amazing.
It's amazing. You know what? Since we did DC streaming, let's pick up with that one first. And then we'll do the DCCW TV,
that's
new
fine.
TV news, and then we'll do Krypton.
Oh, you know what? I meant for us after the film news to actually talk about the trailers. So actually, let's talk about that first. The two movie trailers, and then we'll move on.
Oh, you want to do that first and then not?
Yeah, that's how I intentioned. Okay. But again, I had it all in order on my computer, and now I didn't because it was so now I'm all a mess. But yeah, yes, that's the way I intended to do it.
You segued the TV, and now you're going to make us go back again. All
right. Yeah, sorry. Well, whatever.
All right, let's talk about the two trailers. First of all, there was Wonder Woman footage. It wasn't released online because it was very brief and it's still very raw. That's understandable. That movie's a year and a half away or close to that. I'm okay with the fact that we didn't see anything from it. That general audience didn't see anything from it.
Well, I am jealous.
Yeah, but there's a jealousy, but there's also an understanding.
I get it. I mean, they did the same thing with Aquaman last year, so.
Yeah. So we didn't get that, but we heard that people were enjoyed what they saw.
Yep.
And they're as excited as ever for Wonder Woman 1984.
Talk about the Shazam trailer, dude.
That's Shazam came first.
Yes.
Yes. I absolutely love this trailer.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
It just has so much charm to it.
Mm-hmm. It's hilarious, dude.
Yeah, but you just can't help but be swept in. And it really does capture the wish fulfillment. Of wanting to be a superhero. And the cool thing about it is we've all wanted to be we've all grown up as kids wanting to be a superhero. I mean, I have. I know you're. I'm pretty sure you have as well. So, it's a very relatable theme.
Can't tell you how many Halloweens I went as Batman.
Yeah, I'm sure that 90% of them is my rough guess. I love the fact that I was a big fan of the backup story in the New 52 Justice League run that featured Shazam, Geoff Johns' take on Shazam.
Mm-hmm.
I have you read that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. So the fact that there's a portion of this story that's based on that, but visually, what we get in this trailer is a good 85 to 90% of that had me just smiling. I love the idea of Billy sort of coming to Freddy's rescue. You know,
uh-huh.
Freddy being bullied because Freddy has a disability and he's bullied and where basically people bullies throw him against the car and start kicking him while he's on the ground. As somebody with a disability, who knows what that's like, that was a really nice touch. It makes you really sort of wanna root for Billy and sort of in that respect. And so, I
like seeing Billy. Billy's a hero even before he gets the powers.
And I like the beating he gave him with the canes. I gotta try that myself. Why I don't know why I use my karate when I could just smack people with a kids like this. So I gotta try that next time somebody bothers me.
It reminds me of Batman Beyond and the pilot of Batman Beyond when Bruce beats up the Joker.
Yeah, that's true as well. And even the whole thing with the, on the train with the wizard,
mm-hmm.
and the whole train, how the train takes him there, and the whole thing. Again, it's just ripped right out of the comic, and it's like we got a brief glimpse of it's the Rock of Eternity. It's called, correct?
Yep.
We got a brief glimpse of that area, and I'm like, I want to see more of this. And
oh yeah,
Jaiwan Hansu's voice as the wizard was pitch perfect. I'm like, why? Like this casting, I was sold just by the voice.
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't get a lot of him visually. Like you saw his
hair. I don't think you could even see his face really in the
trailer. No, it was covered by his hair. But it's like, I love the fact that they did that because it was shrouded in mystery.
Yeah.
And I love the mysteriousness of all that.
And him yelling at Billy. Billy's like laughing at his name. And he's like, say it.
Yeah,
and then he's like, okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. That was cool. Yeah. And then, you know, when he first goes to Billy as in full superhero mode,
mm-hmm.
That was cool. And that friendship was sold based on that little bit at the beginning.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, the trailer didn't really show us a lot of the rest of the quote-unquote Shazam family. It really did focus on Billy Batson and Freddie Freeman. And I think that's...
We saw Mary a couple times.
Yeah, but really I don't think she had a speaking role.
No, I don't think
she did. But it's very cool that this teaser tried to focus on that aspect of it.
And I really think that's going to be a highlight of the movie. Billy, specifically when Billy's in the Shazam suit, like when he's as Shazam, his interactions with Freddy, based on this trailer, I think that's going to be like the highlight of the movie.
Yeah,
like,
because, just, yeah.
It's so funny.
And it really speaks to why Zachary Levi was cast. Because you look at him in this role, and I just think he's pitch perfect.
Yeah, he plays it so well.
And he's got good chemistry with the other actor as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, then when they're doing the power tests, like to see what power.
Oh yeah.
Like, just by the way, I don't think, just to go back to the friendship angle, at least in the DC, the current DC film universe,
mm-hmm.
we haven't seen something like this to this degree. So I think that's unique.
Like testing their powers?
No, the friendship between.
Oh.
You know, the superhero having this, I mean, you know, Batman and Alfred is more like it's a father-son kind of thing. It's a different dynamic, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, Freddy and Billy is a different type of connection.
It reminds me a little bit of Peter and Ned in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yes, yeah. It has that vibe to it, yeah. But I think it's unique to the current DC films.
Yeah, I would say that's
because
true.
Wonder Woman, Etta Candy's there, but they don't. I wouldn't call what they have a close knit friendship like it is in the comics. At least not of what we saw.
Yeah, she's more. I mean, Etta's closer to Steve in that movie than
right,
she is
yeah.
to Diana. So.
Right. So to me, it's unique to the current DC film line, and I like it. But the testing of the power was so much fun, like. when he realizes that he's got, when he punches that pillar on the wall or whatever it was,
yeah,
and like he's dancing, and it's like the sheer fun of it all, and the way he tested the flight out. And the first thing I thought was, okay, that was funny that he was sort of hovering for a second and then fell, but also the way that I'm like, that's actually a pretty intriguing way of testing it.
It reminds me a little bit of on Smallville when Kara tries to teach, or Kara, I should say, on Smallville, when Kara tries to teach Clark how to fly, and he fails.
Yeah, there is that similarity for sure. I saw that. I noticed that. And then, you know, there's the scene Well, I think it happens before the convenience store scene, where he briefly confronts Dr. Savannah.
Yes.
And like, oh, you're the bad guy, aren't you? And he goes to punch him. And Dr. Savannah stops the punch, and then Zachary Levi looks at Dr. Savannah's hand. It's a very brief shot. But again, it parallels the BVS fight.
BVS, yeah.
where Superman punches Batman, and Batman blocks the punch. And then Superman looks at his hand. So there was that parallel. But then the convenience store thing, or actually there was the moment where they're walking through, I guess it was it a mall?
Yeah, where he's charging everybody's phone.
Like, your phone is charged, and then the one that doesn't work is, and the guy's like, what the hell are you doing? Or even before they tested the powers, when he's like, oh, what powers do you have? He's like, powers? I haven't figured out how to pee in this thing. which is funny, because it's a complaint about a lot of superhero actors, that it's hard to go to the washroom when they have the superhero suit on. So I'm glad that they put that in there.
That was pretty.
But the convenience store scene was just, again, right out of Jeff Johns' story.
Yup.
When he
realized, and I had a feeling, and I'd heard some other people speculate about this. As soon as we saw that picture of Shazam and Freddy drinking the sodas outside of there, that they were going to replicate that scene.
Yeah.
And they did. Yeah.
And so, you know. So when he realizes he's bulletproof, he's like, "Damn, I'm bulletproof!" And he goes, and then he looks at the two robbers, and he's like, "Oh, you're dead!" And he throws them out the window. And then
throws them out the window. Sorry about your window. Yeah. Sorry about your window. But
you're welcome for not being robbed.
Yeah.
And then the girl walks by and is like, "Sup? I'm a superhero.
I'm a superhero.
Dying." Look, I think. Here's my litmus test. I was up at the cottage where we were celebrating my nephew's 9th birthday, and
oh, nice.
I showed my nephews this trailer.
Uh-huh.
And their exposure to Shazam is his more modern animated appearances.
Okay. A Young Justice?
Yes. And
okay.
Justice League War.
Okay.
I can't remember if they've seen Superman Shazam.
Have they seen Justice League Action?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what they know. That's their conception of Shazam.
Yeah.
And so I showed them the trailer. One, as I said, was 9. The other one was 12.
Okay.
And they absolutely love the trailer. So.
That's awesome.
I'm thinking that this movie is going to have such a family appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Such a four quadrants appeal. To that's on the level. That I don't think any of the other, that maybe, well, maybe, I want to say Justice League, but I think it's to a different degree than any of the other DC films have had so far.
Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of The Incredibles in that way, actually.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. But I am totally, totally sold. It was charming. It was fun. I think it captures the spirit of the character. And
again, we see that it's very much going to be another DC Christmas movie following in the footsteps of Batman Returns.
Yeah, so even though I have to wait till April, it will eventually be on my Christmas rotation. once the Blu-ray hits. So, yeah, I can't wait till April. Sign me up. Bring it on. I'm here for it. I loved it. It exceeded my expectations.
Hey, well, that's great. It did for me too. I loved it too. I loved it too. And I think it's fair to say, because I love the Justice League marketing so much, we're both all in, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. Definitely.
Cool. Well, another trailer that has me all in for a movie. I mean, not that I wasn't already, because I was, but is this Aquaman trailer, dude.
It's...
And my goodness, dude. Yo.
I mean, the word that I'm going to use to describe it is exceptional.
I second that.
I mean, it gives you everything. Again, it gives you a bit of the origin, the lighthouse, all that, you know, the, all that stuff.
Talking about his father, his mother. His mother, yeah.
And sort of
Chase Meridian.
Yes. how many people in the current DC film universe has a version of Batman or an actor who's played Batman either kissed or had sex with? It's incredible. It's almost like the 6 degrees of separation of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but for Batman. but yeah, so they do the whole, you know, the mother father thing. They give you a brief bit of his history.
Yep.
They tell you, you know, they show you him sort of, again, getting picked on at the the aquarium, I guess it is.
Yep. Probably not a good idea to pick on Aquaman when he's next to a bunch of sharks.
Like when they slam his face into the glass and they're picking on him for quote unquote talking to fish. And then you see like every type of fish in that aquarium has lined up behind the glass, behind Arthur. It's almost like, here, these are my peeps. Come at me. You know what I mean? It was cool.
Yeah. And that kid that they got to play young Arthur looks so much like Momoa.
Oh, it's incredible. That. And even later on in the trailer, they show a slightly older version of a younger Arthur.
Yes, that, yes. And did that guy, the slightly older one, did he look a little bit like Heath Ledger to you? Because he did to me.
I'd have to go back and read it because I didn't notice that. First couple go rounds, but I have to go back. But that reminds, like, seeing the three different ages of Arthur is very much in line with what Wonder Woman did with
Diana. Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, and then they show you, like, so Mira comes back and or comes to the surface world, to Earth, or to land, to retrieve or recruit Arthur. And when she takes him under to Atlantis, this has got to be, like, I'm not even joking here. This is right up there in terms of being visually stunning with Avatar.
Yeah.
The key difference.
Except the only problem is I missed this part of the trailer the first time I watched it because I passed out because of Amber Heard.
Oh, wow. All right. So. You went there. And let me just say, you know, I get the whole thing about the water and this film is predominantly about water. Seeing Amber Heard, remember the ice bucket challenge?
Yeah.
I needed an ice bucket because holy smoke. That woman is one of the most beautiful women on earth, without question.
I completely agree with that.
I paused the trailer and I just thought to myself, I'm just going to pause and get lost in her visage for a minute. And I did. and then I continued with the trailer. But yeah, she's, wow. Can we have a Harley Quinn girl gang movie with Gal Gadot, Harley Quinn, Amber Heard. Like, can that be a movie? Can we have that movie? Like, they could just be in a coffee shop talking. I don't even care. Sign me up for that. But but going back to the actual Aquaman, because we could have a podcast about how beautiful and hot Amber Heard is all to itself. But when she takes him under the water, like I said, I haven't seen anything visually like that since Avatar.
Well, I'll bring up Valerian again, actually.
That's true.
Because I brought that up with that picture of the Fisherman King, and this reminds me of that a little bit too.
That's true. But what makes Aquaman unique is that it's underwater.
Yes.
And I loved it. I love the look. Like, it just looked so...
It's magical. It looks magical.
Yes. Yeah, it looked like... Yeah.
It's vibrant, magical. It's incredible. I just want to swim around. I want to go down there. Actually, I wouldn't do this in real life.
I can't swim, but I want to go there. If I drown, so be it.
I have a fear of oceans, but that's actually part of what Aquaman appeals to me so much, is I think that, like, especially the stuff with the trench is really, like, the horror stuff. Yeah, yeah. It's going to appeal to me a lot because, like, in real life, I have a fear of oceans. So, like, it's going to – I think that's going to play really well for me, actually, in terms of the horror elements. But, yeah, so I wouldn't actually swim down there in real life, but part of me wants to because it just looks so incredible, like, just to swim through there.
But you know what's so cool about it is the fact that there's so much of the ocean that's unexplored, right, in real life.
Yeah.
So that when you see them go down there and you see this mystical, magical world, you're able to suspend disbelief because we don't know what's down there, what's down that far. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my goodness, Adam. What if Aquaman exists down there and Atlantis is down there in real life?
Look, if somebody that looks like Amber Heard is down there, I'm gone. I'm taking the risk.
I'll overcome my fear of oceans to go down there.
You know one of those belts, those flotation belts? I'll put one of those flotation belts on. I'll put one of those, you know, those the oxygen masks, and away I go. I'm not done.
Oh, my goodness.
But it's believable. You know what I'm saying? It makes it believable because there's so much of the actual ocean and the waters that are unexplored.
Yeah. Jumping back to something that before we got to Atlantis, I wanted to touch on is we get a little glimpse of what you remember that first image we got from this movie of Arthur and what looked like a submarine. Mm, yeah. I think that first little bit of action we get in this trailer is from that scene.
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool.
Yeah. So I wanted to point that out.
He's like, permission to come aboard. You know, that was kind of cool.
Yeah. And a segue, because the action in this trailer just looks so exciting. Like, this fight between Aquaman and Orm that we get a little glimpse of.
Yes, the Game of Thrones kind of fight. The challenge of the throne, yeah.
What I thought of was The Dark Knight Rises, because it reminded me of the scene from The Pit in The Dark Knight Rises specifically the part where all the spectators, like, they're silent for a second, and then they all go, like, they all start cheering. It reminded me of when Bruce climbs out of the pit.
Yeah, right, when the audience, you're right, when they cheer.
Yes, yes.
But then when you get to the actual war, like the battle sequences,
yeah,
like their sharks are like transport weaponized transport vehicles in Atlantis. They'd be the equivalent of tanks online, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
on land, I should say. So that was amazing. Like, and the underwater sea life the different species. It was just...
Here's a question for you. Do you think we'll get the Throne of Atlantis scene where Aquaman sends the sharks out of the water?
I can see that.
Oh, my goodness, that would be awesome.
I can definitely see that. But this whole... I mean... And then you get the part where we see Black Manta. I mean, does that not look like one of the most visually incredible villains?
Oh,
in cinema,
yeah.
Let alone forget about.
Well, he's always had one of the coolest supervillain costumes ever.
Yeah,
and just that scene with him on land when he's shooting the lasers out of his eye and like Arthur's jumping away—that
was awesome.
Oh my goodness!
And what about? Do you think I'm curious to know if maybe George Lucas used Black Manta as an inspiration for Darth Vader?
That is a good question. I totally get it. I never thought about that before, but it very well could be.
Yeah, and then there's the moment at the end of the trailer where Mira jumps out of the plane.
Yeah.
Into that like desert area.
Uh-huh.
And Arthur jumps after her, but the pilot's like, she doesn't have a parachute. He goes, redheads. Gotta love him. And then, you know, it's a typical Jason Momoa. Woohoo! The excitement.
That's what I love. I love the continuation. That's the, he actually does that twice in this trailer. He does it, but I think,
when they go down to Atlantis. Yeah.
When they go down to Atlanta. I just love that trend of him, like, hollering every time he goes into action. Like, yeah!
But also, don't forget, But don't forget also that there was a scene of, there was a similar scene where Aquaman dives into a desert area from a plane in Geoff Johns' New 52 run, and he starts having visions of his father, and then subsequent visions of Atlantean, of his Atlantean roots. So I wonder if a similar thing happens in the movie, because it seems like they're cherry picking right from that moment in the comics. So I could definitely see that. But this trailer was phenomenal. This could be, I mean, if the movie delivers on what the trailer showed, we could be looking at it leaping to the top of my DC film rankings. If they can deliver the promise that this trailer gave, I could very much see that happening. Like, this has, just from this trailer, this could be Wonder Woman level success for DC.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
One
other thing I wanted to point out in this trailer is how cool, you know, they always do their variations on the, like, I love the new DC logo. It's not actually that new anymore, but, you know, the new, the current one. But I love how many variations we've seen, how creative they've got. But this one is one of my favorites. This sort of blue tint one that we've got here, like, it looks so cool in this trailer. So I wanted to point that out. Just a little cool tidbit there.
Looks great. But
this movie, man. The
trailer was fantastic.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I'm ready for this. Again, the sooner December comes around, I'm so ready for Christmas.
Yeah.
What,
it's gonna be awesome.
What a Hall H presentation this year.
Yeah, no kidding.
Amazing.
Yeah, I just, wow. Yeah, they really blew out of the water to make an Aquaman pun this year.
Yeah, so. they really did.
So, moving on though to our TV news, which is, so now that we've ruined the segue anyway, do you want to, should we just start with Batwoman?
Sure.
Okay. So obviously, as we know, Batwoman is going to be appearing in the big DC CW crossover this year, but now she is going to be spinning off in her own show, which is in development, from Greg Berlanti, Caroline Dries, as well as Sarah Schechter and Geoff Johns. And first of all, I'm really excited about this. We might be losing Gotham, which is really unfortunate because my favorite.
There's no if it's done after this year.
Because, I mean, there's still a small chance it could get saved, but I didn't mean might so much as, like, there's a possibility that it won't be. Sure. I meant might as in we, like, sort of like you say, we might be losing this, but instead we are.
I get it.
Okay. Yeah, so anyway, we might be losing Gotham, which is unfortunate because it is my favorite live-action DC TV show currently. But we are getting a lot of live-action Batman-related shows replacing it, because not only are we getting Pennyworth, but we're getting another Batman-related TV show with Batwoman, because she's getting her own series on the CW. Which is so exciting. First of all, like, I'm just excited that we will be, like, I was already so excited to see her in the crossover, and I'm excited to see more of her now in her own show, obviously. I'm really, obviously I'm excited about Greg Berlanti and Jeff Johns and Sarah Schechter's involvement, but the name that really jumps out at me here is Caroline Dries, because she worked on Smallville and she wrote some phenomenal episodes of Smallville. I'm just going to read them off for you, what episodes of Smallville that she wrote. Because she has a very extensive history working on Smallville and wrote some amazing episodes. Okay, so here we go. She wrote Cyborg, mm-hmm. Oracle, Subterranean, Nemesis, Action, Gemini, Sleeper, Toxic, Bloodline, Infamous, and Stiletto. So she wrote a ton of amazing Smallville episodes. So obviously, I'm really excited about Greg Berlanti and Jeff Johns and Sarah Schechter, but they've worked on a lot of the DC TV shows already, so that is sort of expected. But Caroline Dries coming back to the DC universe, that has me extremely excited.
Yeah, and she was also a writer and a producer on Vampire Diaries, which is a show that I watched. So I know her from both Smallville and Vampire Diaries, so I'm very excited by her inclusion. In terms of Batwoman herself getting a show, I believe when we first talked about it, you know, about her being part of the crossover, I said it would be the stupidest move in the world if the CW didn't immediately greenlight a spinoff. Remember I said something along those lines?
Yeah, I do recall that.
So, you know, I'm glad to see that there are intelligent people over there at the CW. I think it's great. I you know, everybody knows that we watch Gotham, we enjoy Gotham. But to have a Batman family show on the CW within the shared universe concept is phenomenal to me.
Yeah.
Also, the last time that WB/CW handled heroes in Gotham, it was Birds of Prey, and I don't care what anybody says, I love that show.
Me too.
But the best thing is, we've seen the superhero television has gotten better and better as the years have gone by. So that makes it all the more intriguing. If I had liked what they did with Gotham's world beforehand, you know, over 10 years ago. Imagine how much I'm
going to... 15 watch. Now, actually.
Yeah, that's why I said over, because it wasn't... But imagine how much I'm going to love it this time around. And I love the fact that they are not shying away from Kate Kane's roots as a lesbian, but then that it's going to be at the forefront of the show, because like that's a core essential element of that character.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to applaud the CW for saying we're going to not only acknowledge that, but we're going to make it a big part of the show. And again, you got to give the CW credit. I mean, they're casting, they have a transgender character going to be on Supergirl, played by a transgender actress. And now they're going to have a lesbian character leading the show as a superhero. They are so forward thinking, and they're forward thinking is not that, I don't know if that's the right word, but you know what I'm saying? They're, like the fact that you gotta applaud them for doing what a lot of other networks would shy away from, and what still many people are, you know, kind of don't give the attention that it deserves. So as a Batman fan, as a fan of the Batwoman character, what I got from the brief log line that was present in the I think it was the Hollywood Reporter or Deadline, they really are going to key in on her, on her relationship to her father and the military aspect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a big thing in the actual comics.
Yeah.
Two curious questions I have, and there's no answer to this at this point, but they're questions nonetheless, are where's Batman or Bruce Wayne in this scenario?
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming they're going to keep the fact that they're cousins intact. And if they do, it's going to be interesting to see how they explain where Batman's gone. Like, where is he gone? Is my question. And how they're going to deal with that. And also, what Earth is this going to be on? Is another question I have.
My guess is Earth 38.
You're saying Supergirls?
Yes.
Okay.
That would be my
the
guess.
The only reason I question is because Oliver, of course, has name dropped Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, he's named out Bruce Wayne. We know Oracle exists on Earth 1. So there's been references on both Earths. And, of course, we know Wayne Tech exists on Earth 1 as well. But Supergirl is actually, I mean, they've referenced not just Bruce Wayne, but Supergirl's referenced Batman before multiple times.
Yeah, not by name, but yeah.
Not by name, but, you know, they talked about Clark's friend with the pointy ears and the gadgets or whatever they said. You know, they've said stuff like that.
Yeah. So I think it could either be on either Earth.
Yeah, no, it could be. It totally could be.
Or.
And I'm totally down with it being on either.
Yeah, so. And it could even be on Earth 2, remember, because, you know, there's the whole Bruce, Diana, there's the phone.
That is true. I think, I guess one reason why I think Earth 38 would be a great choice is because you could do World's Finest
really
easily. I mean, not that you couldn't do that if she was on Earth 1, but, and also because of how many Batman references they've had on Earth 38, sure. So I just think, but I'd be fine with either, I think. Either would make sense.
And the other question, you know, there's the point where there's a point in her origin where Batman intervenes, right? And sort of saves her is the wrong, I mean, it's the right word, but it's the wrong word because she can handle herself, but she's kind of overwhelmed by it. Remember the scene where she got mugged?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And Batman
yeah.
swoops in. So are they going to show that? Is it going to be a Birds of Prey scenario where it's part of a montage? And we see him for, you know, seconds, right?
Yeah, they could do something like that.
It's going to be interesting. So those are the questions I have. But overall, I'm like, bring it on. Let's do it. I can't wait for this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm right there with you, dude. So, can you believe it? But that's not the only live-action DC TV show we got reported about.
No, we're going back to the streaming service.
Going back to the DC Universe streaming service,
it's gonna,
where we've got...
Yeah, Geoff Johns is going to be writing and showrunning, producing a Stargirl series.
Yes.
And the way it's been described is that she's going to try and reform or bring back the JSA.
Which is sort of what she did on Smallville, actually.
Yeah, but what's cool about that is there is a run of JSA that Geoff Johns wrote. Of course, it was phenomenal
Geoff
Johns could write the phone booth and probably win a Nobel Prize. but there's a run where he, I believe this run also had Kingdom Come Superman in it for a while. But in this run of the JSA comic, he got the legacy characters of the original JSA members to reform mm-hmm. the JSA. So it sounds a little bit like that's what Stargirl is going to be doing. I'm on board with that concept. I'm also on board with the idea of Geoff Johns. Like, This was the first character Geoff Johns wrote as a DC assignment.
Well, he created her.
Yeah, and he created her. That's right. And it's very personal for him because she's based off Geoff Johns' sister who has passed away. So I'm really happy that he's going to, in not only working with the character he created, but also in, as another way of honoring his sister. I'm very happy for that. I think that's awesome. But I'm like, yes, bring this. Give me this. I want it. I can't wait. Like, again, I'm between the CW and now the DC streaming service. I don't think I need any other channels.
You know, well, and Fox, because of Gotham.
Well, temporarily, for 10 more episodes. And then Fox is done because they canceled Lucifer, so...
And sci-fi, Krypton.
Yeah. Okay. So hold on. I need to get my cable situation straight now. Hold on. So I need Fox temporarily. I need sci-fi, which we'll get to in a minute. The CW and the DC stream. So I need 2.5 networks.
and Cartoon Network, because they've got all the, or not all, but that most of the animated shows,
all that crap's going to be on the DC streaming service anyway.
No, not the new stuff.
Oh, you're talking about?
I'm talking about. Well, I know you don't like Teen Titans Go, but I do. But yeah. Also, Justice League Action is on there.
Yeah, I guess.
And DC Superhero Girls is going to be on there.
Well, I don't even need it for action if it gets renewed. Has there been any talk of that yet? I don't know.
Unfortunately, not. And it's really starting to worry me.
But anyway, I'm so on board with this Stargirl show. I can't wait. And in her, you know what's funny?
What's that?
In her two appearances in live action so far,
uh-huh.
I've enjoyed them both. I thought both actresses did a great job with what they had to do. But at the end of both of the, you know, in both of those cases, I kept thinking to myself, I need more of this character.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
And Adam is a happy camper.
Yeah.
So I guess you're on board as well.
Oh, I'm totally on board. Yeah, this is really exciting. You know, Geoff Johns, like, first of all, there's nobody better to work on this than Geoff Johns, because obviously, like you said, it's so personal to him and he created the character. So... I mean, I'm just excited for his involvement, of course. I mean, Stargirl, I think, is an awesome character, like you. I loved her on both Smallville and on Legends of Tomorrow. I am a little bit surprised that they're not going to use Sarah Gray from Legends of Tomorrow and tie this in with that. But, you know, it's a little bit surprising that they, you know, start fresh with a new version of Stargirl. I wonder whether this will be set in the same continuity as Titans and Doom Patrol and maybe Swamp Thing. And maybe this is lending, or maybe it'll be on, maybe the, like I said, I still think that these will be on some Earth in the Arrowverse, and maybe it'll just be, this will be a different Earth version of Stargirl, and then, so you'll have your Earth 1 Stargirl, and then you'll have this Stargirl, but anyway, in any case, I can't wait. I think it's really cool what they're planning to do with just society in this. I've just always really liked Stargirl as a character and all her different appearances. Speaking of Justice League Action did some awesome stuff with her.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, I'm really excited for this and another show on the streaming service,
I think they're just going to keep growing it personally.
I mean, we've got Titans launching very soon. Then 2019 there'll be, let's see, four more, because you've got Doom Patrol, you've got Swamp Thing, you've got Harley Quinn, you've got Young Justice. So that's four more. Then you've got this, and then you've got Metropolis still in development. Yeah, so that's
2019 is also this, right? They said, yeah. So there's this is coming in 2019, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be 13 episodes, by the way.
Yeah. Whereas Titans was only 10, right? I think.
Is it? I don't remember. Here, I can look it up
real quick. And I think they're going to get dropped all in one shot, Titans. That's the last thing I heard.
Is that really?
Yeah, it's going to be a massive dump like Netflix.
Oh, I didn't. I was thinking, because I remember when they were talking about Metropolis, I think they were talking about it being a weekly series. So I just figured that would be the case for all the shows. No,
they said they're going to drop 10 episodes of Titans.
Wow, okay.
All at once.
I didn't hear that. Okay, cool.
But yeah, so bring on Stargirl. I can't wait.
Yeah.
And then the final piece of TV news that we have this week. I mean, we know that there were CW trailers for season 5, and we're gonna get to that next week because this episode has been pretty packed. But the last piece of news, two pieces of news, are in regards to Krypton season 2. One being that, and this came out of Comic-Con, that the superheroes, the Kryptonian superheroes Nightwing and Flamebird, will be making an appearance in season 2.
Yeah,
they haven't said why yet, but they will be. That's exciting.
Well, it's sort of a. I feel like they might be needed against Doomsday.
Yeah, but and the producers have confirmed that Doomsday will be on the loose in season 2, and that we are going to get more Brainiac in season 2. But the one of the main villain of season 2, and this was just announced as of this recording last night, will be none other than Lobo, the main man. This is intriguing to me because when you look at Brainiac, when you look at Doomsday, they look amazing. And they're very, especially Brainiac, because we haven't really seen much of Doomsday yet. He's even very comic accurate as well. Not just in look, but in the way he, you know, his actions, motivations, you know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes me so fascinated and excited about what they're going to, how they're going to adapt Lobo.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think he's going to look badass, and I think he's going to be badass. And Krypton was a favorite of mine in season 1, and I can't wait for season 2. I'm totally on board with this.
Oh, yeah. Both these pieces of news, so exciting. Like, I can't wait to see all three of these characters showing up. I mean, Lobo, though, especially, like, oh, my goodness. I can't wait to see the main man in live action for the first time.
Yeah.
So, that's really exciting. I mean, oh, man, he was teased on Supergirl back in season 1.
Yeah.
There was that line that, like, just got me really excited. Maybe we'd see him there, which was, I think it was, like, Alex said something to the effect of...
Something about a bounty hunter, yeah.
They were talking about a different bounty hunter, and I think Alex said to Jean, she said, "You don't think it's him, do you?"
Yeah.
And Jean says, "No, we'd know if it was him."
Yeah.
And so I've been sort of hoping that maybe we'd see him on Supergirl for a while, but looks like maybe not there, but we're seeing him somewhere else on live action TV, which is so exciting.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see the main man kick some Bat Stitch's butts.
Yeah. Bring it on. This is all, what a weekend has been. With news and a weekend. I think as we conclude the episode, we could say it's a great time to be a DC fan.
It's Geek Christmas.
Yeah.
Is what SDCC is.
I'm a DC fan of all genres, and what I'll do is next week when we do our news segment, we're going to talk about the trailers for the shows that have launched, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also going to talk about, I want to bring up some comics news because there has been. But we'll bring that up next week in our news segment.
Cool.
But we're going to wrap this one up.
So. One more thing I was going to mention, you remember there was one more.
Oh, what was it?
Which is the Justice League Honey Made Graham Snacks are now in stores. Yeah.
That's right.
And first of all, they are delicious. I just love Graham Snacks. But the fact that they're Justice League Graham Snacks makes them even better, of course. But it's really cool. They've got actually, it's funny because I'm sort of throwing this. I'm going to consider this comics news because it is the comic book versions of the characters that are on there.
Okay.
But interestingly enough, the lineup they use is the one from the live action movie. So I thought that was interesting.
Cool.
But there's free trading cards that you can collect that they put on the back. I think they put 9 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So you can cut those out. I cut them out. I got a bunch of cool characters. I got Batman, which of course I was most excited about because he's my favorite character. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so very cool. They're delicious. Each one of the Graham Snacks has a different Justice League character's logo on them. So very cool. If you want to check those out, you can go grab them. Got to shout out Joe Fornerato because it was him on Instagram. He posted the picture of his. And then I immediately ran out to my store the next day and bought myself some. And ate the entire box in one sitting. So, yeah, I I'm like Barry in Justice League. I'm a snack hole.
Well, there we go. But with that, I think we'll bring it to a close. We are part of the Batman Podcast Network. So look for us there. And thank you to Batman on Film for hosting that. There's also many other podcasts available. Great podcasts that will service your Batman needs. In terms of social media plugs, Jordan, where can we find you?
Yes, well, I am still temporarily locked out of Twitter, but like I think I said at the top of the show, making some progress there. Twitter just finally sent me something and said, yes, you will be back in. They haven't said when yet, but hopefully that's not too far down the line. But in the meantime, you can find me on Instagram, and I'm also going to shout out the DC All Access app because you can find me on there too. And speaking of which, this is actually something else I was going to say, which I forgot to mention about the DC Universe streaming service. So, like I said, I pre-ordered the other day, and you could log in with your DC All Access information. So that makes me think that the social network aspect of it, maybe because I remember I was speculating, oh, they've already got their own social network on the DC All Access app. Is this going to replace that? Maybe they're going to tie it in with that because it's the same. You can use the same login for DC Universe as you use for DC All Access. So anyway, cool. I thought I'd shout out my. You can find me on the DC All Access app too. On there. So you can find me on both those places at BatJordan2739.
All right, cool. And if you want to find me on social media, you can on Twitter at Superhero Sci-Fi. Until then, have a wonderful weekend and a great week ahead. So long.
Batcat forever, from the first kiss to the last. Bye-bye.